Why church today? It's Thursday. A couple of days yet till Easter. We certainly know why we would have church on Easter, celebrate the glorious resurrection, but church tomorrow, Friday, we know Good Friday. It's a good time to have church as we look at the death of Jesus, our Savior. But why Thursday? And what is this word anyway? Monday, Thursday. Well, when I was younger, I have to admit, I thought the word was Monday, Thursday. Anyone ever think that? And I thought, okay, what's this about? Are we looking at the life of Jesus maybe in his last week from Monday through Thursday? Is that what it's about? Well, we know, of course, that it's Monday. And that word, as Pastor Ron said, is from the Latin. It's where we get our English word mandate or commandment. And so tonight, we celebrate the fact that we have a new commandment. Not only a new commandment, but we, of course, celebrate the fact the institution of the Lord's Supper is given by Jesus in the fulfillment of the Passover meal. And as Jesus takes the form of a humble servant and washes the feet of the disciples. But it all starts with that first command, a new command that Jesus gives. And we say, we may be thinking tonight, oh my goodness, Christianity, another command? I mean, we already have love thy neighbor with all, or love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. We have those Ten Commandments from the Old Testament in Exodus 20. We have those commandments, and is that all Christianity is? Is just keeping these commandments, and God tells us to live this way and that way, and if we do, trying hard enough to live a good life, well then, if our good things outweigh our bad, then at the end, Jesus, you know, he'll grant us everlasting life if we're good people, if we try hard enough. But folks, we know that that's not the case. We're not saved by our good works. Scripture is clear about it, that we're saved by God's grace through faith, not because of our works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not because of our works, lest anyone should boast. And so I'm going to say it concisely, precisely, one more time so we all got it down, that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we have our salvation. It's a gift from the Lord. But then we may ask, well, why these commands? Why these commandments in the first place? Why is the Lord telling us these things? Well, he's telling the people who already know where their salvation comes from. It comes from the grace of God through faith in Jesus. We know we're going to heaven as a gift from our Lord. But now, as we live here on earth, how should we live our life here on earth? How is it that God wants us to live? And thus we have these commandments. Thus we have these guidelines, if you will, on how to live our life. And we should want to keep those commands then because we want to please God. We want to live our lives as God wants us to live because he's given us the wonderful gift of salvation. And the neat thing, though, is that Jesus shows us by example of how we are to love. It all starts with God loving us. He initiates the love. He started the whole process. He loves us. And then he tells us that we love him and we love one another. And by loving one another, we are loving Jesus. We are loving God. Well, Jesus shows us some great examples of how we are to love one another. He shows us an example of how he washes the disciples' feet. And let's get a little context here of what was happening when he washes the disciples' feet. They were celebrating the Passover. As you may know, the Passover was this celebration meal that the Jewish folks did once a year to celebrate the fact that they were got out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, and they were freed from that. They put the blood of the lamb over their doorposts, and the angel of death passed over them. And they were able then to be free from Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, and finally, eventually getting into the promised land. And now God tells them, have a meal once a year. It's a big celebration for the Jewish folks, a great, great celebration. And that's what Jesus is doing with his disciples here on this Thursday night, on this Monday, Thursday evening. He's celebrating the Passover. The disciples ask him, where shall we go and prepare for the Passover? And Jesus says, in this upper room. And that's what they're doing. They're having this Passover meal. And then Jesus steps down and starts washing the feet of the disciples. Wow, what a shock. Jesus is doing what a lowliest servant would do. The lowest of the low servants is the ones who would wash the feet. But it's Jesus, the Almighty God himself, is washing the feet of his disciples. Now, it's interesting to think about this for a moment, that Jesus is God. So Jesus is what we call omniscient. He knows everything. And so he knew what was laying ahead for him. He knows what the next 24 hours has in store for him. He knows that he's going to be arrested. He knows he's going to be put through that mock trial on Friday. And the crowd is going to be yelling, crucify him, crucify him, release for us Barabbas. He's going to be beaten and scorched and finally nailed to the cross as Pilate gives the okay to have him crucified. Jesus knows that that's what's coming next. And he also knows how his disciples are going to behave in those next few hours as well. His 12 closest disciples, his friends, who had been with him for 3 years during his earthly ministry, how did they behave in those next few hours? Jesus knew that one of them was going to betray him. One of them was going to deny him 3 times. And all the others would flee in the hour when he most needed them. When he was suffering and in pain, they would run away. Think Jesus felt betrayed? Those close friends who had been with him for 3 years would flee, be gone when he needed them most. But Jesus doesn't seek revenge. Jesus does not seek revenge. Instead, he washes feet. Now, I have to admit, I would want some revenge. When somebody does something wrong to me or hurts me, my first response is, how can I get them back, right? They've inflicted some pain on me. I want to inflict some pain on them. And that's human nature, isn't it? That's what we do. When somebody hurts us, we want to get back at them. It happens in our culture. It happens in our society all the time. It happens in professional sports, too. Okay? The Diamondbacks are playing the Giants a few days ago. And one of the Diamondbacks pitchers probably inadvertently hit the star player on the Giants right in the head with a pitch. Well, a few innings later, of course, one of the Diamondbacks hitter got hit by a pitch by the Giants pitcher. And the next day, the star of the Diamondbacks guy got hit by a pitch. So the Giants got sort of double revenge on the Diamondbacks. They hit 2 players. We only hit the one. Double revenge. That's even better than single revenge, isn't it? Right? But that's how we think, isn't it? Somebody does something wrong to us, we want to get them back. But not Jesus. In his example of how we are to love, he doesn't seek revenge. He does pretty much the opposite. He washes feet. He takes on the role of a servant and washes their feet. And as he washes their feet, there's a couple of points that he makes while he does that. And the first point is that nobody is better than anyone else. We are all equal. All on the same plane. No messenger is better than the messenger. They're all equal, okay? God's eyes. Read it for yourself there in John 13. We're all equal. As children of God, we are all on the same level. On the same level. And then the other point that Jesus makes in this example is that we want to put others and their needs ahead of ourselves. As contrary to the world as that sounds, we are to put others and their needs ahead of ours. And so we want to ask ourselves the question tonight: how can I wash other people's feet? How can I wash others' feet? Now, I don't recommend maybe you go home this evening and go to your neighbor's house and knock on the door and say, Joe, I learned in church tonight we're supposed to wash each other's feet, so can I wash your feet? Okay? That probably wouldn't go over very well. But what we want to do is put their needs ahead of our needs. Can I give you a ride to your doctor's appointment? Because I know you need a ride. Can I prepare a meal for you? Because I know you've not been feeling well lately, and I want to make you some food. Kids, that person who sits by themselves in the lunchroom, can you befriend them? Can you wash their feet? And I know you all know somebody who is lonely and sad. Can we wash their feet as Jesus did? Well, Jesus then also gives another beautiful example of his love as he institutes, as he gives us his supper, the Lord's Supper, we call it. And I notice that we say it's his supper. It's not Pastor Mark's supper. It's not Pastor Ron's supper. It's not risen Savior's supper. It's his. His grace, his forgiveness comes to us in his meal. He comes to us with his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. But what's the big deal? A little bit of bread, a little bit of wine. What's so special about that? It's with those words. As we heard from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, St. Paul says what he got passed on to from Jesus. And the other gospel writers too relay this message. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood." The true presence of Jesus. How that happens is a mystery to us. But in a supernatural way, we call it, in with and under that bread and that wine, comes our Savior, comes Jesus, to give us strength, to come to us on the individual basis and say, "You're forgiven. Your sins have been wiped clean by my death, by my resurrection. You are forgiven, child of God." He gives us his true body and blood for strengthening in our faith. Strength to live out our faith walk with the Lord. Strength to say that I don't have to seek revenge when somebody wrongs me. Strength to put others' needs ahead of my own needs. He gives us strength in that meal as he pours out his body and his blood for us. We take Jesus at his word when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." He doesn't say it's a symbolic representation of his body and blood. He says it is my body and blood. And we will celebrate that in just a few moments. Amen. Shall we rise and we pray together? Oh, good and gracious Father, Jesus, we thank you for loving us so much, for washing those disciples' feet, setting an example of how we are to love one another, how we are to put others ahead of ourselves. And Lord, in that great meal, that meal of your body and blood, to give us strength to hear that we are forgiven and that you give us the strength to live out our Christian lives. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.